The past couple of weeks, I've had a number of conversations with people in the church who are in a season of uncertainty. They're wondering what's next for them in life, if God's calling them to something new, to a new city, to a new job. They're anticipating starting in a new school. And I've talked to people who are in a season where they feel like God is distant or absent. They wonder if God is still leading them in life. And so as I read these stories from Acts 16, I had these people on my heart and in my mind. And they helped me see these stories in a new light. So we find Paul on his second missionary journey, sailing across the Aegean Sea to share the good news of Jesus in Europe for the first time. But this was not in the plans. Paul and his friends had other ideas, other expectations. If you still have your Bibles open to Acts 16, I want to back up just a few verses. The story before this, in Acts 16, verse 6 and 7, I want to read those verses. Paul and his companions traveled all through the area of Phrygia and Galatia. The Holy Spirit had kept them from preaching the word in Asia Minor. They came to the border of Mysia. From there, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. They made plans to preach in Asia Minor, and they tried, and they failed, and it seemed the Spirit of God would not let them. So they went in the other direction, to Bithynia, and they preached. They tried to share the Word of God, but it seemed the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. And I'm wondering, did the Holy Spirit not get the memo that this is a missionary journey and that these believers are trying to share the good news of Jesus? Why would God's Spirit stand in the way? And how did Paul and his friends know where to go next? Today, I want to invite us just to travel with Paul and his friends, to notice how their plans don't seem to be working out, but also to notice how the Spirit of Jesus still is working, even when their expectations are not met, even in the moments when things seem to be lost. After these failures, they end up in Troas, on the edge of the sea. They're at the end of things. There's nowhere else to go. And that night, Paul has a vision of a man over in Macedonia, in Europe, saying, "Come help us. Come here." And Paul shares this vision with his friends. They're wondering, is this where God is calling us? And they think, well, it's better than all this failure here in Asia Minor. We might as well go. And so they do. They travel to Philippi. And Philippi is an important city in the Roman Empire. It's a crossroads of business and religion and culture. And I imagine that Paul and his friends are making new plans in Philippi about how to preach Jesus in this city, of how to influence the city. And you would think they might start at the center of the city, in the marketplace, where the most people are, where they can make an impact. But they go outside the city gate to pray, which is a great way to ruin your plans, right? You have ideas, you have plans and expectations, and you pray, and things change. So they go out to pray. They're looking for a quiet place. And instead, they find this group of women at the river, probably washing clothes and visiting. So Paul and his friends start a conversation, and they have the chance to share about Jesus. Now, if we're thinking Paul and his friends want to share the good news with as many people as possible, if they want to really influence the city of Philippi with the gospel, this is not a good start. They're visiting a group of women at the river, washing clothes. If you know anything about this time, women did not hold much power or influence in the city. They usually did not own property. They usually didn't have money. But surprise, there's a woman in the group whose name is Lydia. And the Lord opens her heart to believe. And Lydia does not fit in that box. You see, Lydia is a businesswoman. She has money. She is the head of her household. And she has connections in the city. She has clients and business associates. And Jesus opens her heart to believe. Isn't it funny that Paul has this vision of a man in Macedonia calling for help? And they show up, and it's a woman named Lydia who gives them help, who invites them back to her home. And her home becomes the very first church in Europe. It becomes a new missionary base. Isn't it funny that Paul and his friends go outside the city gate to meet with God? They're thinking about plans for how to evangelize the city. And all the while, the answer to their prayers is waiting at the river in a woman named Lydia, who will give them a place to stay, a base from which to minister. How often in our lives do we think God's will is waiting for us somewhere in the future, somewhere down the road, when all the while God is saying, pay attention. I'm here. Just look around you. It's no coincidence that Paul and his friends are going to pray, because prayer is where God takes our plans and transforms them into his plans. Prayer is that place where we let go of our tight grip on the future and where our way is led into God's way. And it's no coincidence that God is at work on the margins, outside the city gate, outside the center of power and influence. Do you remember Jerusalem? Who was led outside the city gate? It was Jesus. Salvation broke in outside the city gate on a hill called Golgotha and in an empty tomb. The Spirit of God is at work on the margins here. So Paul and his friends, they're welcomed by Lydia into her home. And again, they go out to pray before they begin their ministry. And the way of prayer will again become the way into God's will. But this time, it will not be so easy. There is not a warm welcome waiting for them. Instead, there's a slave girl pestering them. She follows them wherever they go. And this slave girl has this ability, this power to see the future. She's a fortune teller. And she's a slave. Her owners use her and use her ability to make money. But this girl's power to see the future is actually what's made her a slave. It hasn't given her any power at all over her life. And this girl, this slave, is following them for days. And finally Paul stops because she's haunting them in a way. They went out to pray. And this is a reminder that prayer is never an escape from the world. It's never away from the world's problems. Prayer actually leads us deeper into the hurt and the pain of the world. And so Paul confronts this evil spirit within this girl, and he speaks the name of Jesus, and she is set free. But not entirely. Yes, her spirit is free, but her body is not. She remains a slave. And now her owners are furious. They're angry because they can't own a woman who's been set free by Jesus. They can't use her for their own profit. And so these slave owners drag Paul and Silas to the city center, to the marketplace. And here at the center, at the marketplace, the center of power and influence, this is where we see how spiritual power and earthly power are always connected. They're always connected. And Paul, when he confronts the evil spirit in this girl, he's also confronting the evil powers in this world. He's confronting demonic possession, but that means that they're confronting demonic economics as well. It's always connected. And these slave owners are furious, and their anger spreads. Did you hear what they say? These Jews are causing trouble in our city. They're going against our ways. They're going against Roman law. Did you hear it? The racism, these Jews, the scapegoating. Did you hear the nationalism, our ways, Roman law? All because of the supposed economic threat of these immigrants. Racism and nationalism are the tools to spread fear, to fuel the fire of anger. And it comes raining down on Paul and Silas. And they are beaten without mercy and dragged off to prison. And at this moment, we wonder, has the Spirit of Jesus abandoned them? Are they lost? How could this be God's will? These are not easy questions, especially when we find ourselves in a dark place, when we find ourselves feeling trapped, like there's no way out, and we wonder, where are you, God? When we feel stuck, like the Hebrew people were, between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army, and we wonder, where can we turn? When Paul and Silas are deep in that prison, when their feet are chained and there is no way out, what do they do? We didn't read it, but maybe you can guess. It's the first thing they've done twice before. In verse 25, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They were also singing hymns to God. They look to the God who made a way when there was no way for his people, the God who parted the sea. They look to the God who brought water out of the rock. They look to the God who brought salvation on a cross, to the God who brought new life out of death. They look to this God in prayer and in worship. If we go back to verses 6 and 7 that we read earlier, we wondered why would the Holy Spirit stop their efforts at preaching? Why would it seem that God's Spirit is standing in the way? And I wondered, did they know that in the moment? Did they know that it was God's Spirit at work? Or were they just thinking, we're failures and we have to try someplace else? St. Luke is writing this story 30 years later. Luke was there with Paul and Silas. He was there on this journey. He's looking back 30 years down the road, and he's reflecting, and he's sharing this story, and he's seeing from that distance, oh, it was the Spirit of God who was leading us. In our moment of failure, it was God who was saying, I'm making another way. Luke is seeing that it's the Spirit of God who is with them all through it. It was God who was with them when they were welcomed into Lydia's home. And God was with them when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And we'll hear next week from Barbara as we see what God does when there's no way out again. Isn't it true that when we find ourselves in the journey, in the midst of the uncertainty, in the confusion, in the darkness, that we're not sure, that we doubt, that we question, but then later down the road, we see in a different light that, oh, God was there. God was with me. God was leading my life. God did not abandon me. I remember a season of my life when I felt lost. I was confused about what God wanted, where God was leading. I had ideas. I wanted a future for myself, and I was holding on tightly to it, but it didn't seem it was going to happen. And I was wrestling. I was doubting, God, are you not leading my life anymore? And I remember a conversation I had with a wise believer. And I was questioning, what is God's will? And he said, Andrew, we often think of God's will like train tracks. And if we can just find those train tracks, if we can get on that train, it will lead us into God's will. And he said, Andrew, what if God's will is more like a multi-route bus system? And there are all sorts of ways and routes that can lead us to where God wants us to be. That if God wants to get us there, he will find a way. Even when we think it has to be this way. 10 years after this time in Philippi, Paul will write a letter back to those believers, to that house church that started at Lydia's home. And he says this in his letter to those Philippian believers. God is working in you. He wants your plans and your acts to fulfill his good purpose. Paul is saying, he's telling the believers, God is at work. Even if you don't see it, even if there's struggle in your community, even if it doesn't seem the church is growing, God is at work. He wants to use your life. He wants to use your plans for his purpose. So friends, if you find yourself in that place today, if you're wondering what's next, what does God want for my life? If you're feeling like you're lost or God has left, I want you to remember Paul and Silas and Lydia. Remember that in those moments when it seemed like things were lost, it was the Spirit of God who was leading. So trust that it's the Spirit of God who is at work in your life, even when you can't sense it. Maybe especially when you feel lost and uncertain. Trust that there will be a day down the road, when you'll look back, it was the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.